This is a fireball.
Oh, you do.
You know, I call the office today.
Yeah.
I think it is. There's something in there. I'm not getting it. Well, maybe not. What is that? Oh, I see that. Yeah, that one I said. Yeah.
Hello? There we go. Thank you. Can you hear me, Bob? Is it working? Okay. Thank you for all for coming this evening. This is the 16th meeting of the CSD, Los Osos CSD Community Services Board since October 1st, 2005. Thank you all for coming.
Whoa.
Reverb. That's too loud, isn't it? Is that better? That's like hurt your ears kind of voice. I'd like to welcome everybody this evening. On the teleconference, we have Mr. Chuck Cesena, director, who's calling in from Colorado. Chuck?
Hello.
Hi. Oh, you're in Arizona now. Okay. And then we have Mr. John McClendon, our interim general, interim counsel, who's calling in from Southern California. John?
Hello.
Okay. And we have the rest of the board and staff here this evening. So... Okay, right now, Mr. Bob Lloyd has an announcement to make.
Good evening, board, staff, and public. Last meeting, we did some testing on some web streaming to actually broadcast the proceedings live on the Internet. It was just a test. This is only a test of the emergency broadcast. No. We are still evaluating how much it costs for us to actually do that, and we are looking for more inexpensive ways to do that. For right now, that was only the test that we're going to do at this point until we bring it back to the board with a proposal as far as what it's going to actually cost us to do that process. We will be putting up the meeting, the last meeting up on the Internet, which will be you'll be able to download and see it. We do put up the audio files on the Internet, so they can be heard, but we do that as a gratis to the a courtesy to the board. But as far as the web streaming process, because of the computers and the streaming costs, we will not be doing that in the future until we bring a proposal back to the board. So I appreciate everybody calling in for the interest on the process, but we are still working on the process.
But tapes and DVDs are always available at the district office?
Tapes are always available at the district office. We don't presently have an arrangement for DVDs, but we can work that out.
DVDs
because we
VHS
actually...
VHS tapes. Are
VHS tapes, yes.
Available. Good.
Currently, yes. Thank you so much and enjoy the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Okay, so welcome. Here we are again. And our request is to adopt resolution or provide direction to staff. So that's what we're going to do. We've had public comment on this same very item, at least probably almost 10 hours worth of public comment already on this item. So tonight we're going to restrict comment. Just we're going to cut it down from 3 minutes to 2 minutes if you have any other further discussion on it. It's just the last formal action about the same thing that we've already talked about both on Sunday and Thursday evenings. So that's the intent. But before we do this, what I'd like to do is I'd like to turn the microphone over to Mr. Rob Miller, our district engineer. He wants to do a little explanation of some of the background of why we were why I think I'll let him explain it. It's just a little bit of background information for you as to why we came up with this negotiated proposal as far as facts and figures. Now, I still intend to give a complete presentation on the State Revolving Fund Loan for education and workshop, but that won't be tonight. That this is just going to be this one item, the resolution, and public comment on the resolution and nothing else. And I do totally intend to do that, and I tend to get it on the television channel, too. I'm going to work with Mr. Lloyd and get that presentation out for you so we all have a better understanding of what a state revolving fund loan is and what it isn't and how we've lost it and got it and lost it and got it about 8 times now. It is a revolving fund, and the county had the first loan, and we inherited that loan back in 1998. So it's not like there was only one loan, and there'll only ever be one loan, and we'll never get another. That's not how it works. It's a revolving fund, and we're always willing to apply and get money, or we'll be able to amend this one. That still remains to be seen. We're still hopeful. So, Mr. Miller? Oh, Mr. Bielski, excuse me.
Yeah, Madam President, we just need to receive a report on the closed session from our last meeting.
Right, okay. From our last meeting, I forgot to do that. We need to report. We need to report from our closed session agenda from Thursday night. And we met till about 3:30 a.m., and we again took no reportable action. So that was a long night for us. So that's it. Okay, thank you. Mr. Miller.
Wasn't me. Madam President, thank you, and members of the board and the community. Let me just get this going here. The purpose of the presentation tonight is to briefly deal, actually it may not be so brief, but relatively briefly, deal with the, there we go, some of the few technical specifics that were some of the foundations of this proposal with the state. And we're really directing this to a couple of different audiences. We're first going to talk about the collection system. And really who I want to direct this portion of the discussion to. That's great. Yeah, no problem. The audience that I really want to direct this portion of the discussion to, of course, to everybody, but especially to those folks in the audience and on TV who are very interested in advancing STEP, which stands for Septic Tank Effluent Pump Systems, as their preferred collection technology for Los Osos. I know that there are many out there who really had hoped that that was going to be a process that would save us all money, and I really want to direct my comments to those folks today. For those of you who already think gravity is the way to go, that's part of the proposal. That's before this board tonight, so hang with me. First of all, I want to draw a distinction, and that distinction is between a STEP system that the state, meaning the State Revolving Fund, would approve for their funding, and a STEP system that may be technically feasible but may not be fundable by the state. That's a critical distinction, and we really found that out in the midst of the negotiations. You might be surprised to find out that the state has funded a number of STEP systems, and they have some operating history with them, and for that reason, they've developed some very firm criteria. Since they're like the bank, if we want their loan, we have to meet their criteria, and it's simply a go-no-go decision as you look at the cost of the restraints that they would put on a STEP system that would be developed in Los Osos. This is a partial listing. I've hit the really key items that surprised many of us as to items that the state would require for their loan. Now, as I'm going through this list, if you're a proponent of STEP, just note this is for state funding. If there is a different source of funding, these requirements would not necessarily be the same. In fact, I'm certain some of them would be different. Wildan has been retained by the district to do a third-party independent analysis of both collection and treatment options. That study was kicked off a few weeks ago, and it's underway, and they will be looking at, depending on how this goes, apartment of a septic tank, and they're highly efficient pumps and very affordable. But for various reasons and history, the state has indicated that they're going to require a higher level of pump, actually a grinder pump, to be installed in every septic tank Again, in case there's the occasional solid that makes it through, so you don't have a plugged pump and then a service call. So a grinder pump in every tank, which was a significant cost adder for each system that was installed. For those of you who are unfamiliar with STEP, septic tank effluent pump, this is a technology where, because every home has a septic tank, those septic tanks would normally appear on private property on each and every residence. Many of those tanks are very close to the home because the farther away you get from the home, the deeper the tank has to be in the ground to allow the wastewater to flow to the tank. The state was very clear on the fourth bullet point there that the CSD would have to own and operate all of the systems in the community. And that has some logistical importance to us because the CSD would then need an easement. And for those of you who don't know, an easement is a legal right to enter in upon somebody's land, get access to some sort of a facility for the purpose of maintenance and operations. The CSD would own and operate every single pump system within this STEP system, some 4,800 pumps. I don't remember the exact number. It's in that range. So we would have CSD easements on every single property as part of this arrangement, and there's a cost to that. That might be a good idea in any regard, and that's something that the community could certainly consider. The other item was definitely a surprise, and that was the need for a dedicated electrical service. Again, the CSD would own and operate the pump, and the state was adamant, was clear that they wanted to see a separate electrical meter and service to each and every tank. And for those of you who might be familiar with the costs of electrical infrastructure, that's a very significant cost. It's not a small item. So instead of on-site costs being in the $4,000 to $5,000 range, which has been some of the public discussion, we were all the way up into the $7,000 to $10,000 range for these costs. So it really hurt the economics. You know, for some 5,000 properties at $8,000 a pop, that's $40 million right there. And so you had a very significant hit with the on-site costs that that made this so it didn't pencil. Now, the other item that the state was very adamant about is when the district goes to adopt a revenue plan, which is a plan to say how we're going to collect monies, how we're going to operate the system, how much money we need to collect to operate it, that the cost of operations and maintenance for a STEP system would be very high in their minds. And they had some very specific provisions for the number of crews necessary to maintain these pump systems. And again, when you added these things up, it either wasn't cost competitive or there wasn't a significant savings as compared to gravity. Now, the reason that tonight you're not going to see a spreadsheet with solid numbers on both columns is because I feel like it wouldn't be totally fair to do so. Will Dan has been hired. If the community wants to look at STEP, they can put those costs up there in two columns. But I wanted you to at least have the background as to what the state's requirements were if you want their money for the collection system, why the economics weren't there because of the very high on-site costs to meet these requirements. So I hope that makes sense. Again, for different funding sources, the picture may be different, but this was the state's requirement, and so I hope that that's clear enough. Let's transition into treatment, if we could. Of course, there's going to be a lot of discussion as to how a project could actually be less expensive if a treatment facility were located out of town. Now, again, when you're in the context of a negotiation and you don't have the benefit from Will Dan's detailed study, you have to put numbers up there. We had Darren Polhemus, a state official who has hundreds of systems under his belt in terms of the cost factors, and so he was at every step of the way validating our cost factors. We did have to put some numbers up on the board just to have something to talk from, and these numbers will be analyzed by Will then as we move forward. So a few of the ground rules here. We're talking about a property east of town, not necessarily a specific property, although we know that there are some willing sellers out there, but some generic property east of town to be determined. There are different technologies that could be considered as part of this deal. The membrane bioreactor, or MBR, was always the state's preferred technology for the purpose of this analysis. One treatment technology that's being considered in moving forward, it's a mechanical technology. And that is the California Men's Colony plant, which is the higher level of treatment, the tertiary treatment, that's similar to what we're proposing here in Los Osos. And that plant was a construction cost of around $18 million. So we have some fairly recent bid costs. Those are not just estimates. Those are actual bid numbers to compare with. And Mr. Polhemus had, the state had funded several of those projects, so they were familiar with those costs as well. Finally, we had some information that was developed back in 2004 by Montgomery Watson, actually. And this was after the Coastal Commission hearing. The district provided some feedback to the Coastal Commission on the cost of an out-of-town site. Some of the pipeline cost information, we were able to use their basis and update that for current information. One important aspect is this doesn't include any allowance for fines. Of course, the district plans to rigorously protect itself from fines, but for the purpose of this analysis and during the negotiation, everyone recognized that as you throw the two columns up on the board, it does not include any allowance for fines. And then just note that what we call sunk costs are those costs that we've already expended into the current project, into the current treatment plant site. Those costs are not fully negotiated with the contractor. It would take quite some time to negotiate those costs, as I think you've heard from our interim general manager. We have a range on them. That range is not set in stone. It's preliminary. We won't know that until those are fully negotiated, and that's not a quick process. So, again, you're in a negotiation. You have to put some numbers up on the board to assess such things. In terms of operations and maintenance, of course, to pump the wastewater to the east of town will require additional electrical energy, but that is offset by the cost of maintaining a park at the current Tri-W site or at the Tri-W site and other maintenance costs associated with having a fully enclosed membrane bioreactor downtown. So we felt that the O&M costs did not disfavor an out-of-town option. If anything, it may have favored it. There is a deferred cost in the downtown, the Tri-W project, and that is the ultimate cost of a pipeline to the east of town. Those of you who have been following this discussion for a long period of time know that one of the things that we need to deal with as a community is when we put the water in the ground, we have things called harvest wells. These are wells where we extract the water to make sure that we're not resulting in higher groundwater elevations than what would be acceptable. And as we extract that water, we need to do something with it. And we had some limited options available to us in the current design, in the Tri-W design, but one of the options that we had offered to the Coastal Commission to possibly implement in the future is building a pipeline to the east of town to do some exchange of water with agricultural interests, say the sod farm out there. And that's an option that we'd all acknowledge would ultimately probably be required for the community. And of course, that cost is deferred, it's delayed, it's not in all the current costs. And if you did locate a project to the east of town, that would come along with the territory because now the treatment plant would be east of town. Also, if you had more property outside of town, you may have some more sludge management options. Here at the Tri-W site, our options were fairly limited. We decided to keep all the treatment processes what we call aerobic. That means full of air and oxygen. And that limits some of our ability to manage sludge in an energy-effective manner. And also, we didn't have room to, say, do composting such as the city of Morro Bay is doing or other potential sludge management options. And that also was a potential deferred cost for the Tri-W site. We will see some reduction in operations and maintenance costs if we go with a different technology, primarily because we'll have fewer operators that are required. a little bit less energy, particularly with the pond, significantly less energy. And in the oxidation ditch, you probably use one less operator. So there is some lower operations and maintenance costs that may be realized with alternative treatment technologies. In terms of land value, you'll see some rough ranges of numbers up here. Basically, those are based on some current comparable sales. We don't have a specific property with an appraised value, but we have some recent comps or comparable sales that we were able to refer to in the negotiations and that the state accepted when they reviewed our numbers up there on the left-hand side. In the middle, you see what's called the mid, the middle of the range, and in this case, it'd be an oxidation ditch. This is a technology that we know can meet the 7 milligram per liter nitrogen requirement. It's been done in many places in California, and it's a proven technology with recent bid costs, so we feel very comfortable with oxidation ditch technology. And then on the high end would be an MBR or membrane bioreactor that would be outside of town, so it would have some of the aesthetic treatments that you see here at Tri-W or that you've heard about at Tri-W, but many of the elements would not be as costly and would not be as heavily architecturally treated for the purpose of this analysis. A couple of key points here as you look at these costs. Number one, these costs reflect a competitive bidding environment. So if we have only a single bidder, that would be one impediment that would certainly increase these costs. So we need to have three or four contractors competitively bidding this project in order to realize some of these costs. I'm going to go ahead and walk through each item there in the rows. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right, and let me walk through each of the items, and I'll address Dan's question as well. On sunk costs, this is, again, that item which we say is not fully negotiated yet. It's not known precisely how many dollars are into Tri-W, and if you look to pull that project back, what the out-the-door cost might be. So we've put a range up there. I can't imply that we're positive that it falls in that range, but again, in coordination with the state and in consultation with our construction manager, we believe it's in that range, $3 to $5 million. Pipelines and a pump station, if you're going to go outside of town, you're going to spend money on a pump station at the Tri-W site. You're going to spend money on a pipeline going east of town. We believe that cost is in the $3 to $4 million range. When you look at the Tri-W property, we call that a deferred cost. It's a cost that may or may not be necessary. It probably would be eventually, but it's something that was not in the older project cost. Design and planning, and that was Dan's question that he stopped me. We're on in the $2 to $3 million range there for design. We say that the Tri-W site design and planning is complete. That is a sunk cost, and the initial cost on that was, I think, in the range of $3 million. That was less than the total design package, but that total design package had included the collection system and everything else. So I think that that's in the range of what we had looked at for Tri-W. Net land value, that means if we sell Tri-W for what we paid for it or for whatever cost we can get out of it, and we buy a cheaper property out of town because we know the cost per acre is much less out of town, then we would realize some net savings. That's why you see negative numbers up there. Those are numbers that actually reduce the cost. So conservatively, we're saying $1 to $2 million is how much we would save by buying cheaper property out of town. Again, this is based on the value of agricultural land out of town as compared to property that has commercial zoning in town, which would be the Tri-W property. Escalation is something that we can't avoid looking at. Basically, costs are increasing over time. We have to make some assumptions on that, and we've put a low end and a high end on it, and we're looking at $2 to $5 million there, and that's over a two-year period. So if we have some of the wild escalation that we had in 2004, it could be more than that. If it's more modest, as we had in some of the early years of this decade, then those numbers on the high end might be too high. Change orders are difficult to estimate because we were just beginning construction on either end. But I did want to note that for the Tri-W option, that $46 million does not include some of the potential value engineering change orders that could have reduced that cost by a few million dollars, because those discussions were ongoing and they were being partially offset by material escalation and other things. So you see the numbers that fall out and the totals in the bottom. We see a range of numbers. All of those appear to be at or less than the current project, again, with this level of analysis. And just to note that, again, this doesn't include any allowance for fines, nor for a schedule that would extend beyond a two-year period. But we do feel like it represents some good engineering thinking in the context of those negotiations. Very much appreciated Darren Polhemus' time, the state official that was there as a registered engineer. And
agreement upon. This is why we got through the first day of the negotiations, because the state was actually quite surprised at the numbers, and they were quite willing to validate them and agree with us that this was really a possibility. So that's how we got past day one. And we thought it would be good to share that part with you so you understood a little bit more about where we're coming from. And we just haven't had a chance to get all this out yet. So we're trying very hard. Is there any questions from the board? Director Sinnott?
Rob, thanks a lot. That was very helpful. Regarding the state STEP system, the effluent pump wouldn't we be able to fit it with a filter to prevent any solids from entering the pump? It seems like a real simple system.
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, Director Sinnott, there are filter systems. We actually have some that we operate and maintain for the last few years, our company, and they do have a screening system that removes any solid bigger than, I think, an eighth of an inch, and that's why they can use those more efficient sort of stainless steel well pumps that Orenco and Zabel and other manufacturers have used. However, the state, because of problems that they've had in the past and their criteria, even with effluent filters, because most STEP systems do include effluent filters, they would require this higher level of pump, that if for some reason it overflowed, the tank level came up to a high degree and it overflowed into the final pump tubes, you wouldn't have a clogging event, but you would be able to pass whatever material came in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Director Sasania, do you have any questions, or could you get enough of the presentation to... do you have anything that you'd like to add? Oh. Chuck? Uh-oh. Hey, Chuck, are you there?
He's coming. Get me back online.
Well, we'll keep working on that, and we'll keep going. So we must have lost him. I did hear a click. Director Tacker, do you have any questions for
I do have a question, but I think it's for Mr. Bleski, and now he's undergoing some technical... Yeah. Mr. Bleski, I wonder if you could explain a very early action that this board took in hiring Will Dan for an alternatives analysis, and what we expect from Will Dan in the near future in comparison to what Mr. Miller just showed us.
Well, right now, Will Dan's in the... Is this live?
Welcome to the conference center. Please enter your passcode or...
we're in the data collection phase right now. And we're collecting data from various sources. We're collecting it from the historical record. We're collecting it from history of other projects, engineering journals, citizen submissions, vendor submissions on just about every phase of the collection system, including Step Stag, because we want to have the numbers so we can discuss it, because that's been of such interest. And the same thing with the alternate technologies on the treatment plants. And I don't have the scope, but there's three other steps that go into that. I think we got some regulatory issues we've got to check into. And then the final outcome of that plan or that analysis is basically to be presented. Well, we'll have the analysis completed, and that analysis is basically side-by-side comparison. So we have everything in one spot with all the data that was submitted for that analysis cited in that report. So you can go to that one report, and you'll know where those numbers came from, whatever portion or whatever system it is. The fourth phase of that is to do the public presentation of that. And the last couple of weeks, I know a couple of things have come up. One was we were looking at doing a PowerPoint presentation, but I think the board, I know the board has directed us to do a workshop type presentation so we can really hammer it out and people can be informed. And that came from a previous board meeting last month.
Thank you very much, because I think there is some confusion about what the board has asked of your consulting firm, and then what the negotiations brought, and how very different the exercises are, and $100,000 a year less expensive in its operations and maintenance. And I asked him, I didn't understand why the board had chosen the downtown sewer over the out-of-town sewer with a less costly sewer. Because I know that's very important for Los Osos. And he told me it was a wash. $200,000 a year is a wash. Not at my house. And not in my sewer bill. And I think that learning that early on has kept me motivated to uncover, discover, continue to learn, and then teach this community that we can do this. We can have a sewer out of town that is less expensive and absolutely more desirable. So I encourage your participation in our adoption of this resolution, and thank you all for coming on a late start meeting, 8 p.m. Thanks.
Vice President Fiché.
I would like to thank Rob for that presentation. I think that captured the gist of our, as far as the numerical gist of our numbers that we were looking at during our negotiations. And thanks, Rob, for doing that. I appreciate that. I hope that gives a little better, clearer picture for the public on what we were trying to come up with during those negotiations and some of the things that we had to consider. I'm just asking the community to please understand some of our logic and our thinking process through this, and what the community's best interest in mind. And that's what we are keeping the community's best interest in mind. So that's our goal, that's our focus, and that's what we're trying. No, we're not trying to do this. That is what we are doing, and we're working through these issues, and I think we made a lot of progress, and we're still having continued discussions with the state. And again, thanks, Rob. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from staff at this time? Would you like to make some? Mr. Busky?
There was a couple of things in the negotiation, like I think, Madam President, you brought it up, and Rob, you did too. But the first day, I think what really set the tone was that when we were looking at some of the general numbers, they really clicked with the state. And in large part due to the preparations that were made for the negotiation, and they were in real solid ranges of each other. And that you know, when engineers are going to talk numbers, they needed to be able to talk a common set of numbers. And I think we hit that off fairly quickly. A couple other things that weren't factored into this is regulatory trends. And, you know, in water and wastewater, the one thing you see now, especially with the way they set water standards is that the EPA has mandated the adoption of 5 new drinking water standards a year. And when you ask them where that came from, they just go, 'cause. And you're faced with a lot of things like that in this super regulatory society that we live in today. We have the sludge issues are coming in 5 to 15 years, maybe 20 years. We're already seeing it out in Kern County. I know many of you have heard this, but Kern County has stopped taking sludge from the Los Angeles area. Bottom line, done deal. Stopped. Well, what do you do with your sludge then? And so that didn't enter into this, although, Rob, you alluded to that we have the flexibility to do a sludge processing facility in the future. So you kind of hold these things about looking toward the future, you're kind of controlling your own destiny as a community. The other one is the ag exchange. We went back and looked at some of the historical record on that after the negotiations. We had 5 ag interests out there years ago that were interested in this. And from my experience down in the south of here, not only in Ventura County, but in out in Santa Maria, as the celery grows, they're recycling all the tailwater recovery. And the amount of equipment that they put into recovering tailwater is phenomenal, including they grade their fields with lasers now. I mean, it's pretty straightforward for anybody that does grading, but this is there's a lot of interest in every drop of water that goes in there, surge irrigation, all kinds of stuff. So ag's very aware of this. That was not considered in this cost. So, you start getting into maintaining control of your own destiny. The other thing is drought-proofing. One thing about a sewer plant is that a sewer plant takes roughly, a rule of thumb is 50% of your water is used external to a standard tract home. You figure 2 per acre homes, and, you can get a pretty good idea on average that you're going to use half of the water, the potable use is going to be in. So there's a lot of factors. We were just looking at the hard numbers that the SRF folks were very interested in, and it was appropriate. It really was an appropriate analysis from their part because they're looking at the capital costs. However, they were also sympathetic to what we would be saddled with in the future with a plant that was highly dependent upon the future costs of energy. And also, we know how, where are we going on that, and what does that mean to us? And also the high cost of the manning of the maintenance of those particular facilities, which in STEPSTAG and some other processes, all the plant requires considerably less on some of the alternates. You get stuck with that cost forever. That's a reoccurring annual cost, and those are significant. Those were considered, but we did not do an economic analysis of that and bring it back. Now, this is what the Wilden analysis will do, is it'll give you the time value of the money. So my point is there was a lot of things that determine your fate as a community in operating this plant that are not included in the capital costs. And there's a lot of opportunities for you to control your own resources.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And just not to add too much right now, but again, just piggybacking on what you just said, the deferred costs of the existing project are something that has never been disclosed to you in detail yet. So when you think you've got the price of the project nailed down, and it is really the highest per capita cost project in the country, you got problems because you got a lot of deferred costs. And that's something that we're very concerned about. And then we've got the O&M costs for the rest of our lives, which we're also concerned about. So if we can really do it cheaper out of town, it behooves this community to do so. And that's why we came to the conclusions we did. Now we've got to get out of now we've got to deal with the situation we were dealt with, the SRF folks releasing the loan 20 days before an election, before the people had a chance to vote. And that's something we were dealt, and we're trying our best to deal with that and work with the state. We're not giving up. We still want to work with the state. They asked for a resolution, and we're giving them one tonight, and that's what we're doing. So without any further comments, I'm going to ask if you want to do speaker slips, you can. Take a break. And if you don't want speaker slips, you don't have to, but it's 2-minute public comment, and it's only on the resolution. No speaker slips? Okay, we're not going to do speaker slips. Just step up, line up. Let's go.
My name is Al Barrow, And John, I appreciate your comment that you're working in the best interest of the community. I never doubted that. This was a very rough negotiation from my point of view, I believe. The state didn't offer a lot. And they played hardball. And they put things on the table at the midnight hour, such as the step collection system. You've got to have electrical service. That was all brand new. In the 8 years I've been dealing with this, I have never heard them mention that. Having said that, even with that, when you look at the savings by treating effluent, 95% reduction in solids, 70% reduction or more in energy cost, it's still a winner financially. Let me just say one thing. In your discussion, I didn't hear anything about financing a portion of the project. You can apply for whatever portion that you want. If they didn't want to finance a step, is it possible they could finance the treatment and the collection system? Could I get an answer for that, please? Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Barrow, we did look at that option. We did talk about with them. They are concerned about funding a complete system, and so that was not an option at the time of the negotiations. Is that correct? Yes. Okay.
Just to piggyback on what Lisa just said, they did not want to fund a partial system. They didn't want to fund pipes that didn't go to a treatment facility. They want a guarantee source of revenue when we're done with this project, and that's understandable. The question was asked, and it was asked early on in the negotiations. Actually, that was asked before we ever met with Sam Blakeslee. That was done prior to that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Riccano?
Joey Riccano, Ocean Outfall Group. It seems to me that the job description of the State Water Board affords them discretionary flexibility. And in this matter, I urge them to exercise that flexibility. The Los Osos CSD has acted in good faith. I don't remember exactly the number that President Schicker used at the beginning of this meeting, but I believe this is we've done. We've made great strides towards a compromise solution that's going to be good for Los Osos, good for the groundwater, and I do believe a win-win all around. And I think the State Board is going to come around. I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Could you just come up to the mic and for your speaking? Would you like to speak before this gentleman? Okay. Well, I think you should probably wait till after he's done, since he's already there.
You want to follow up on something?
You follow up.
I'm Bob Clover from Los Osos, and I was just looking over the resolution that you have here and comparing it to the Attachment A, and I don't see anything explicit in your resolution in the resolved part that addresses Measure B explicitly, and I'm wondering if that's on purpose or if you intend to really... I suggest that you include some specific language in this that says yes, as number 8 on the attachment says, the board will implement a mail ballot to repeal Measure B, etc. And then on page... 3 of your resolution, the third paragraph, the third whereas, you have a misspelling there on contractors. There should be no apostrophe. I used to be a teacher. And I think that's the main thing, main items. Oh, can you tell me on the bottom of page 2, the last whereas, it says that on October 13th you prepared letters to the project's contractors. So you prepared them, and then it took a week to get them out, or what really happened there? When did you prepare them, before you got the phone call, after you got the phone call from the SRB, or SRF board, I guess it is? I'm done.
Mr. Clover, your questions are these. We are definitely incorporating by reference. If you look at the Second, resolve, the complete proposal has been affirmed and reaffirmed attachment A, and it is number 8. It's all about Measure B and what we're going to do. So that addresses that concern. And then, Mr. Blesky, could you explain the sequence of events around the suspension, lifting the suspension?
Yes, certainly, Madam President. There was a series of activities happened after the first week that the first week of the suspension. And early in the week, Bernard Construction and Whitaker and met with us to discuss some of the areas that were common to whatever system we may come up with on collection. At that time, that was an ongoing discussion. And that was the 10th of October. And based on that, working with the contractors and also with MWH and trying to get that resolved, we had drafted up the letters to lift the suspension. They were drafts, and it probably should modify the language to say that it was drafted, Madam President, because I think that clarifies that question. But on the 13th of October, after a couple of gyrations, we were attempting to find out where SRF, where our check was from the SRF. So we were holding those until the state called us back, because we had all the assurances from those staff members who were not familiar with the project, because the key players for the state, both of them, one was out at a conference and the other one was on vacation, and the remaining staff didn't know the details of where our check was. So we were pretty much compelled to wait to confirm that funding. And on the 13th of October, that's why we have that date in there, is when we got notified by the state that they were going to, their exact words was, we're going to terminate you guys. And we had a number of conversations, and they softened their position to where they were withholding, which is significantly different. And that's where the 13th date comes. But it's probably, it is accurate that it should say drafted the suspensions.
Mr. Fergus, did you want to speak next?
Madam President, board members, staff. Well, I did have a huge thing, you know, notes and all kinds of stuff, but tossed it, so I'm going to do something different. I should get my stopwatch off first. Anyway, could you bottom line for me the resolution? Could you sum it up in one paragraph and then compare it to the Regional Water Quality Control District's stringent requirement? In other words, it's like a list. List A, list B.
It's about the loan. And then the bottom line in the resolution is this was a negotiated proposal. This was their our initial proposal, their take-it-or-leave-it deal, no deviation deal, take-it-or-leave-it, which we did on October 30th, mailing it to them, faxing it to them on October 31st. Now they say they want a resolution. We're giving them that resolution. That's kind of the bottom line about it. Okay. Mr. Peterson?
My name is Ted Peterson, Los Osos. I personally don't like take it or leave it deals. I think those are deal breakers when somebody puts you in that position. But nevertheless, we're in the situation we're in now. I would like to ask the board not to include anything in which you come out against a law. I mean, Measure B has been passed by the voters, and I would like the wording not to say that you will actively participate in its repeal, but that may be wording that you will not get in the way of any effort to repeal the Measure B. That way you don't get put in a position where you're directly fighting people who voted for it. That's my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. I just for a side comment, I was discussing Measure B with Mr. Pohemus today, and he wasn't aware of there's some clauses in Measure B that are called severability clauses. So the spirit of Measure B and the interest of environmental and economic reasons to site a project out of town and not in town could be remain intact. And the more difficult parts of Measure B, which was the severe voting requirements,
might or might not be excised out. So he wasn't aware of that, and that was of interest to him. But I just wanted to add that comment to yours, Mr. Peterson. Yes, Ms. Marlene.
Good evening, board members and people of Los Osos. I'm Marlene McQueen, Los Osos resident. I am still convinced and have complete confidence that this board, if given a chance, will build a better, less expensive, more environmentally safe sewer out of town. They are doing all they can to remedy the problems and mistakes purposely made by the former board members when they chose to start the project 20 days before the election. And they somehow convinced the state to go along with their scheme. This is why we are in such a dilemma today. I have seen the dedication, honesty, and integrity of this new board and hope that the people of Los Osos will see it also and give them the support which they deserve and which we elected and let them do the job which we elected them to do. Tonight, I urge you to accept or to pass this resolution, and I support you completely. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McQueen. Mr. Ellaby? Yes, Vice President.
Thanks. Thank you for your comments, Mrs. McQueen. Tonight, this meeting, we have 2-minute comments on an item on the agenda. I would urge and ask for the speakers to keep on target with the item on the agenda. I'd also like to take out some of the old history tonight, and let's just speak to the issue, and let's just keep the history out of it for now, for tonight. Let's start moving forward to making this community a community again, where we're neighbors, and we're trying to get a project done. Let's get past some of the history and look towards the future. So I'm asking the speakers tonight to keep their comments positive and to the item. Thank you.
Hey, I was going to make my comments on Attachment A. Is that appropriate?
Oh, yes.
Some of these provisions are... Okay, Chris Alvey, Los Osos. Referring to Attachment A, terms 2, there's a phrase in here, commitment to the current disposal system with future efforts to improve ag exchange. 2 years, 2-year time frame. If we fail to meet something called decision points, at which a task is not completed, well, then we go back to constructing the approved project, the current approved project. Commitment, line 4, commitment to pursue MBR as the first course technology. I have a problem with this. This is the, is my understanding, that technology was creating our sludge removal problem. The same technology, MBR, will be utilized if a change in treatment technology would in any way extend the complete...
Agreed on, and we've talked about for 10 hours now, and we're just doing the final step, which is giving them the resolution. It was a compromise, and the business about the MBR being the first course technology is just what Mr. Miller said. It's only because it was already designed for the speed. We, of course, would like the ponding technology. That's the first choice. And that's still on the table. That was not taken away by the state. And I have to go on to the next speaker because I promised 2 minutes for everybody. Fair is fair. Did that answer it?
Okay, well, what little I do know about contracts, it's not understanding. It's what's on the paper. And
yes.
This looks like pretty much a commitment to this outdated technology we're trying to get around.
It's not. I can promise you that. It's not. But I let's talk about it later. Okay. Okay, Mrs. Miller?
Good evening, Sylvia Naylor from Cuesta by the Sea, and I urge you to do whatever it is that you need to do so that we can get busy building a sewer out of town.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hi, President Schicker and
directors. My name is Pat Ryan. I'm a property owner in the Prohibition Zone, and I came here tonight to support the resolution. I think it's, given where we've come from, I think it's a good idea. I think we should support it with all of our support. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Arnon?
Good evening. Good evening, President Schicker and CSD Board and everybody else. I'm Daniela Arnon, resident of Los Osos, and I urge you to pass this resolution. Thank you very much for all your efforts, and to Mr. Blakesley and to Mr. Miller and Mr. Blesky. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Who would like to speak next? Yes.
My name is Maria Kelly. I'm a new resident in Los Osos, so I'm kind of catching up. My question is number 5 on Attachment A. I urge you to pass the resolution. I think it looks great. The secure and option on properties that are under consideration, I assume those are out-of-town properties. I'm wondering if there's any county zoning issues that have been addressed as far as extending the time constraints beyond the 2 years. County zoning tends to be a pain in the butt, and just curious if that's been taken into consideration, how to rezone ag land, because my understanding is Los Osos Valley Highway is mostly ag land. How do we get it rezoned for a treatment plant?
Yes, Ms. Kelly, we did look into that during the negotiations, and ag land, a sewer project, believe it or not, is an allowable use on ag land, and so the zoning requirements, the LCP requirement would not be required in this case, which we were surprised at. We decided still a general plan amendment? Did we decide? We're still looking into that, but we definitely are taking that into account. Thank you. That's a good comment. Yes, Ms. Hilliard?
Hello, Madam President, members of the board. My name is Deborah Hilliard. I live and work in Morro Bay, and I own a home in Los Osos. I am pleased to see that you are considering reaffirming your commitment to the terms that were worked out with the state board. I would like to think that this is not just a matter of public record that you are making this commitment. Given that the public comment and your vote were preceded by a discussion of alternative technologies, alternative sites, I am concerned that this may merely be a vote. The agreement that you worked out with the state board requires you to forego consideration of the step system and forego consideration of a different disposal system, and they have indicated that the Tri-W site is the only site for which the fund, the state revolving fund money, is available. I remain concerned that you are being disingenuous, both with the state board and that you appear to be pursuing alternatives that might be outside the terms of what they have agreed to pay for and for which they have a commitment with you, and that you also are being disingenuous with the folks that are paying for this, and that should you change horses in midstream, that we will be paying for the new horse and also for half of or part of the old horse. So I hope that this vote is indeed a commitment to move forward with this project and not merely a formality, and I commend you on your action. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hilliard. Ms. Frederick?
Good evening. My name is Sharon Frederick, property owner. I've lived 15 years here in Los Osos. And I know the board has this letter from Sam Blakesley. It was delivered November 3rd. I'm not sure why it didn't come here. But the letter said other things that I'm also disappointed about the board for not putting this out. But this is one of them, and I'm only going to stick to public comment on the resolution. I will support the resolution if we're going to start the project of the Tri-W site. I don't want fines. Everyone knows I just had a new baby. I can't afford to pay anymore. I was already okay with $200, and I see that my checkbook is now an open checkbook. I don't know how much more money I'll have to continue to pay. And our assembly person came before us. He has obviously now realizes this is what the state wants. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, board. Molly Brown, Prohibition Zone, Los Osos. I
I can just see this is an incredibly complicated issue. Thank you for all your hard work to you and your staff, everyone, and I support the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Would anyone else like to speak, please? Yes.
Kathy Bonnet, Los Sosos. I'd like to thank you for all the hard work that you've been doing. This resolution sounds great. I do want to express one concern I have, and that is one that two gentlemen raised at the last meeting. They live in the area outside of town, and they said that they would fight having our sewer built in their neighborhood. And that is a concern. I can see a lot of battles and fights and lawsuits and all that, and I just want to express that as a deep concern for the sewer being out of town is how to get around the neighbors out there and how they feel about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Mr. Swanson?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. It was just good to hear, once again, proof that a sewer out of town was always cheaper, and it still is today. And although I don't necessarily like this resolution, I don't like what we've had to end up with, I think it is a good tool for us for the future, dealing with the state, because we entered this in good faith. The concern I do have, though, is the state reading the water code is how they can dictate what we're going to do when the water code specifically says they cannot. So I don't know how we're going to get around that. As far as a revenue source for this, we adopted, the old board adopted, a flawed revenue plan that wasn't going to meet the needs to pay for this plant. So, and that's not going to, we weren't going to do the final until 90% complete. And I think that's a flaw that the state saw and needed to see that we needed to vote for that. So let the people know that you're going to have your properties leaned to pay back this loan. No ifs and ends about it. So I reluctantly support it. We're dealt a bad deal, and we're just trying to make the best of it. So I support you, and I think the community needs to support this. If we can save, on that chart up there, $20 million, how can you argue with that? And if we're dealing with people out of town, we've got 7,000 people or so around this plant, out of town, where the prevailing winds will blow that. They won't even know it's there. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Mr. Denker? Oh, Director Sennett, just a minute. Excuse me, Mr. Denker.
I had a little concern about one of the provisions of the terms, and that was the doubt by the water board of our ability to pay back the loan. What was the revenue source that they were originally contemplating using? And that wasn't that the fees that we were paying back? What has changed in their minds?
Mr. Bileski.
That's one of the problems with the ISA. What the state's saying is that there's some language in some of the clauses that talk
what
about...
What is the ISA?
The installment agreement.
Sales agreement.
Yes. Sorry, Director Sennett.
I just want everybody to know.
It's the old Navy in me, and acronyms, and I can't speak. But... in the ISA, there's a couple of things that are really interesting. I think it's Annex L or F that talks about the adoption of a firm source of funding. However, in some of the guarantees that source of funding, but even internal to that document, it's convoluted, and there's a huge ambiguity. And that ambiguity is usually not favored upon the writer of the contract. So it leaves them open and vulnerable, and they know it.
Yeah, and then just to piggyback on that again, for me, this is something I've asked before, but I'd like to ask it again. Thinking about it, all the folks that have come up and said, I'm a property owner and I voted on this project. I voted. You voted for a $24 million bond, but you never voted for this loan. The results are the same. Your property is leaned. This is a $135 million loan. Please ask yourselves, you didn't vote on this loan. And a lot of people are very upset that you voted on this bond and you demand your rights because you voted. And this is your money and your home's being leaned. I just maintain that you should be just as concerned that you did not vote on the hugest loan in the world. I mean, it's huge. And you should be just as, to me, I'm just as outraged. I voted on the $24 million bond. You bet I want a project. Always have. But I didn't have a say, even as a director. I was a 3-2 vote on a $135 million loan. And that's why I'm saying to you as citizens, I would think that you would be just as concerned about being deprived of your rights to vote on that loan. And that's what the 218 vote was all about. Did you have more, Director Sinnott?
As a practical matter, could the state, which apparently they were willing to do, settle for the guarantee of the plant being built and going online and charging fees and developing revenue stream that way? Why can't they accept that now, given that the board has agreed to build either the Tri-W plant or a plant outside to their satisfaction?
Mr. Blesky.
Madam President, Director Sinnott, that was what was brought up during the negotiations, is we quite frankly asked them that a project is not necessarily site-specific. And again, I've gone over this before, is if you have a major component of a project that moves, there's standard contract language that provides for that that situation. But that was our question to them, was what's changed? You asked for a level of guarantee based on revenue. What's changed? And they had no answer.
Director Sinnott.
And one final comment is that if we do agree, let's say we had a change of heart and decided to go back to Tri-W, how could they justify us using that money, being that there's no guarantee the plant would be built, you know, if we were held up by lawsuits, Measure B, if it were passed? What would give them the criteria to go ahead and approve disbursement of the loan without the guarantees that they're asking for under these terms?
Mr. Buskey.
Well, this is kind of getting into some of the legalities of it, and I'm sure that we're going to be hearing from the attorneys, or actually there's still some of the discussions that are still going on. But quite frankly, that was the point, was if you have a community that's looking to move this thing out of town, and let's just kind of say that it's a wash, it comes out to the high end, it's still $46 million, which is a chunk of change. The obvious thing is that the Tri-W site is going to be encumbered at least until we have a hearing, and then 90 days after. And this goes to, the specifics of that, I think, have to go to district council. But the point comes down from a common sense standpoint, you're going to get litigated on that, and that's a sure deal. So what you're doing is that you can work together to avoid both. In other words, we had a speaker at our last meeting that brought up a really valid point, is that there's common ground that Measure B allows and the SRF does as well. And to go outside of that, you're going to find yourself, you know, the analogy of digging a hole, well, it depends on who's digging their own hole. And the state, it seems sometimes, and is that by ignoring what's happening at Tri-W with the almost guaranteed litigation, they're digging their hole. So it's kind of like, you know, what's the point? We could work together, or we can just dig holes.
Yes, Director Sinnott.
If you bear with me, one more last thing. Should the CSD, through some mechanism, be dissolved, of course the loan would be totally withdrawn, and reapplication for a loan for any project that this community could see within the near future, 5-10 years, would have to go through the similar assessment vote, and you'd have to get consensus throughout the community on a project.
we're back to square one again. If should the CSD be dissolved and this negotiation process is scrubbed?
There's great ugliness in combat. I'm not a war lover. I urge you to come up with five A's for this, and I don't wish to go back into the history of this whole affair. I do have a modest question about whether or not some of these open ditch or pond systems have any odor components that have to be dealt with. I don't expect an answer, but unlike many of the speakers, I have never gone online to become a autodidactic sewer expert. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dinker. Mr. Miller, do you have a short answer for that?
Yes, Madam President. With respect to the oxidation ditch, there would be some odor control measures like in PISMO. The initial processes are all in a building and odor scrubbed as opposed to the entire plant. And then with a pond system, the first pond would be most likely covered. So there will be odor control measures regardless of the technology.
Thank you very much. Ms. Oakes.
Two minutes starting. Okay. I'm very disappointed that you would pursue the illegal loan as if it's our only hope and our only choice, when it's clearly not. Obviously, this board has been getting bad advice and getting it for long before the election. When you were elected, you were not prepared for the fines, and panic immediately set in. A few of you were even televised bailing out in public, bailing on the town, bailing out on your campaign promises, looking only where to sign your name so you could crawl out from under the weight of this mess. Now you want to ratify the contract to sell out Los Osos, which guarantees that half the town becomes refugees, and you expect us to sign up? You've made a bad decision that will haunt this town for years to come. Your advisor should be fired because they have deceived us. You have no alternative, affordable sewer plan. Those plans are all getting thrown into the Bermuda Triangle of bad management simply because one person who wasn't elected wants the mega sewer that will sweep this town clean of hundreds of homeowners who can't afford it. That's why we picked you to run, because you were Clay. All this is happening because you're not listening to the people in this town that have worked so hard for so many years, spent time, money, day in and day out of stress of having to leave the town they loved. All this effort from them to get an affordable sewer out of town. Now more than half the town will have to leave when there's a lien put on their home with this illegal SRF loan that we weren't allowed to vote on. And by the way, they can't pay the three. We're looking at four. $100 a month. They'll just lose their home and all their equity that they had in it. This project was never about a wastewater system. It's about a land grab and real estate brokers and developers taking away the land your home sits on, just let me wrap up, because they want it. They want their new Santa Barbara Carmel. The state and county want the higher taxes. It's a win-win for the big guys. They just get richer by leaving seniors, working families, and disabled homeless. Well, you can live with that. I've got more, and I'll come back and read for somebody else.
Director Sennett?
That generates something of interest, maybe for comparison purposes, to have another column which also develops the costs associated with, abandoning the current collection system that's built so far and concluding those contracts, negotiating those.
Mr. Miller.
Madam President, I know the Wildan's analysis that's in progress. I mean, you need time to develop that column. And I think everyone recognizes that. I think the speaker expresses a strong belief that there's an overall cheaper project. And my intent, of course, is just to have everything up on the board so everyone's on the same page. And that information, one of the things your board tried to do as part of the negotiation is buy yourself more time and implement some of the limited portions of the collection system while you completed the analysis. And that was one of your first negotiating points, and it was rejected. So that's something that your board tried to do to maintain your discretion to look at all the options, but you are moving forward on the analysis, but that's our current situation.
Yes, thank you. Vice President Fouché?
Now, that's something you just have to add to that cheaper, lower-cost system is the loss that we're going to incur by losing that SRF loan. It's a fact. It's just a fact. It's not because it's something that we want to go back to the drawing board and have a clean sheet of paper. We cannot do that. We are in construction. And if we stop construction, there's costs incurred. And this is a loan, could be lost. It's possible maybe we could get it again. That's a strong maybe we could. But in the meantime, we have all the costs that are incurred by stopping this current project and canceling contracts and delay costs. And then we have to even look a little bit further ahead at the Regional Water Quality Control Board and their perspective on doing that. So it's not a simple answer. If we had a clean sheet of paper and we could just start over and there's no other costs involved, yes, maybe we could. If we could rebuild this town and include the system and start from scratch, yes, maybe we could save some money doing it that way. But that's not the position that we're in. And we have to consider those things when we're going through this process. The community has to understand that. We're not looking at this with blinders on. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President. Ms. Pavick?
Good evening, Ward. I've been out of the country for a few weeks, so I need to get caught up. Anyway, I'm just going to read the rest of Pam's statement, but let me preface by saying I, too, am disappointed because this is an illegal loan. We didn't get a chance to vote on it. It does violate Prop 218. So Pam goes on to say, let Gail, Keith, and Julie Biggs explain Prop 218. Let them explain how they had the same suit but withdrew it last winter. It's the only lawsuit that Hilton didn't throw out because it was the true sewer stopper. If CCLO and Julie Biggs didn't withdraw the 218, we would still have our trees at the Tri-W, and we wouldn't have contractors here. We wouldn't have any of this mess. Thank you, Keith, Gail, and Julie Biggs. Let Dan and the new attorney, John, explain how Biggs brought them in. Let Dan explain how Wilden only works with gravity collection. If that's not a conflict of interest, it's very close. By working with this agreement with the state board, you are letting Roger Briggs off the hook forever by agreeing we're polluting with our septics. He doesn't have to prove it. You let the 218 happen in the middle of the loan rather than before the loan. This agreement gets all the lawbreakers off the hook. It borders on betrayal, if not criminal negligence. Not one person should have to leave this town just to flush their toilet. Think of how many people you are flushing down the toilet when you bend over and sign this death sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pavick. Ms. Cormier?
Good evening, Board. My name's Maureen Cormier. I've lived in Los Osos over 10 years, and obviously this is a very heated discussion. But I want to, I'm kind of in the middle, the central spot, and I want to commend the board on an amazing travail of negotiating in such a difficult situation. I know that we have people on both sides, and I totally believe in compromise. I understand negotiations are difficult, but I want to recommend that we proceed with this. And I'm not getting everything I want out of this situation, but to negotiate means you give up something and you look for the best in the community. And I congratulate you on looking for what this community needs to become solid and together again. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hunter?
Good evening, Jack Hunter, Los Osos. I'm compelled to come forward with this letter from Blaisley that was given to you last November 3rd, the day of the Thursday evening meeting of last week that you conducted. I find that the tone is not at all demanding or condescending, but actually sympathetic to your experiences in dealing with the state. I believe I can read these three short paragraphs very quickly into the record. Dear LOCSD Board, I wanted to provide a brief update as to the status of discussions with the SWB regarding the Los Osos Sewer Project. As mediator in to the week-long process, I was disappointed that the State Water Board rejected your proposed compromise. I know both parties worked incredibly hard, and the LOCSD acted in good faith when you unanimously accepted these terms in an effort to clean Los Osos water while respecting the spirit of Measure B. It is important to me that I accurately describe the real-world limitations of my ability to influence or control future actions by the state and regional water boards. After extensive...
I wanted to just start out with the definition of an impasse, and talks about the bargaining impasse occurs when two sides negotiating in an agreement are unable to reach the agreement and become deadlocked. Impasse is almost invariably mutually harmful, either as a result of a direct action or simply due to the resulting delay in negotiating a mutually beneficial agreement. And it goes on, and it has a lot of good examples. But an impasse also may arrive if parties suffer from self-serving bias. Most disputes arise in situations where facts are able to be interpreted in multiple ways. If the parties interpret the facts to their own benefit, they may be unable to accept the opposing party's claim as reasonable. They may believe the other side is either bluffing or acting unfairly and deserve to be punished. The impasse, I thought, was between the state board and our board. But the impasse is more about two extremes within the Los Osos community. The factions both believe that they're right. And at this point, there is some reality to the fact that we are in construction, that we do have money on the table. And if we don't move forward, that we will lose. We will lose on both sides. Most of all, we'll lose as a community because we'll lose our peace. The resolution for a reasonable offer, if it is off the table, is really sad because there are people hoping on both of those factions that it is gone. One, so they can start over with a clean piece of paper, and the other side, so that there is no clean piece of paper, that they can have Tri-W. There won't be any lower cost proof that they were wrong. And I just urge that we all work towards a project and a peace that we can all live with. And thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Fred Delegata, property owner, Los Osos. Board, staff, I urge you to pass this resolution. I think it's very important for the community, and you've been doing a great job, and I do urge you to pass it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, next speaker.
Short and sweet. I'm Becky Thielen, property owner, Los Osos. I want to thank you, John, for your comment about the history. I think that's real important. I do urge you also to accept this proposal. I think we do need to move forward, and I think it's obvious you want to move the project out of town, and you're the one sitting there in those seats, so, and make the decision. So I urge you to accept this. A little problem with number 7, it seems to be a bit of a sticky wicket, but that's just something you'll have to work through. I don't see how you're going to continue work on the Tri-W site. I don't know if they'll accept the winterizing as construction, but that's something you'll have to work through with the state board. I also don't quite understand this whole 218 hoopla over the legality of the SRF loan, whether it was secured through a vote or through the revenue from the sewer, and I don't see why we couldn't do that this time. We need the money. It's a 2.3% loan, and no matter how we got it, we need it. So I think just move forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thielen. Mr. Sparks?
A couple questions. Joe Sparks, Los Osos. A couple questions.
maybe Rob can answer, on the harvest wells. Can the, you mentioned in the context of ag exchange, and can they also be used in terms of the water and the supply and the blending? The other item is on the funding. Will this resolution potentially result in the funding being continued, or will that have to wait until the full board approves it on the 16th? And those are my questions. Lastly, I'm going to read a little bit from Lincoln's second inaugural address, some excerpts. Neither party expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which it has already attained. Neither anticipated that the cause of the conflict might cease with, or even before, the conflict itself should cease. Each looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that any man should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of another man's face. But let us judge not, that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
Thank you, Mr. Sparks. Mr. Miller?
Madam President, thank you. Briefly,
with the past few weeks. Now, if you are saying with this proposal you will continue with the original project while gently working with the on changes which will make it an improved project and not upset the state's apple cart, then I think this is a great proposal. If you are indeed dedicated to doing that, go on with what we've got and use some gentle persuasion so we don't bring the state down on us again. So that's my question. Do I understand this properly?
Ms. Fergus, that's our intent. We're still trying to work with the state. Yes, politely and civilly and professionally. Yes. Ms. McNeil?
I've read the proposal and the resolution. I would like a further explanation on term number 7 as to exactly what kind of a vote and who would be voting. And I would also like to see a number 8. I would like to see B and C put into the resolution, explicitly into the resolution. Thank you.
Okay, just clarification on number 7, which is about the assessment district vote. What we agreed to with the state was that we would hold an assessment district vote for property owners within 6 months to further secure the loan. They're looking for more securitization. They were worried about that. And so it would be just for collection and disposal costs of the project at this time. And Mr. Blesky or Mr. McClendon, I'm not sure which, because we include Attachment A and adopted it in its entirety in Section 2 of the resolution, what would be the benefit or non-benefit of putting those points into the resolution themselves? Do you have any comments on that?
Well,
Mr. McClendon? Yeah, go ahead.
Can you repeat that?
Here's the question. Ms. McNeil asked if we would take points A, 8, B, and C, which have to do about with Measure B, and put them directly into the resolution. And my question was, Attachment A is adopted in its entirety, and she wanted it to be put in as a resolve, I think.
It really doesn't matter. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you fine.
Okay, it really doesn't matter if you go ahead and put it in the resolution. It's an attachment, and it's incorporated into the resolution.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I just wanted to be sure. Okay, it's the same thing. It's in there because it is the attachment. Okay, next speaker, please.
I'm Ann Tiber. Hello, board and staff. I live in Baywood Park. And just looking at the resolution, and I certainly appreciate all the work that you've done on it, but I think that's where we're headed tonight. But I have a question, a number four on page four of the resolution that states that on October 30th, at the special meeting, the LOS CSD reaffirmed its commitment to quickly construct the Los Osos wastewater project in accordance with state and local laws and the terms of the SRF contract. And to me, that sounds like we're accepting the Tri-W site. And that's why I'm just a little disturbed by that with number seven on the attachment, because they don't quite jibe to me, and I don't know what to think about it. Can you straighten me out?
Yes, Ms. Tiber, would you like to say something, Mr. Buskey?
Madam President, I think I could take a crack at that one. The reason why we put the terms of the SRF contract in there is a number of things. Is the SRF contract gives us the flexibility to recite the facilities. And the other thing is that the SRF contract in a number of sections specifically prohibits us from breaking the law. And right now, Measure B is the law. So that it's a fairly complicated way of linking everything, and until Measure B is overturned, or the spirit, we still have the spirit of Measure B to deal with, the SRF contract actually kind of cements both ends of it, if you can follow that. But we can move the plant under the terms of the SRF contract, but the SRF contract also prohibits us from breaking the law. So we have to
sue you to make you have an odor-free plant like we have downtown now. Will that be the same cost as we have downtown with all the odor membrane things on it? So if that's the case, we should just go ahead for Tri-W, because if we go somewhere else, we're going to go through the same lawsuits. They're going to drag it out 5-10 years. We're never going to get anywhere. So we need to go ahead with the current site as it is and approve the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Mr. Miller?
Madam President, I think the question was, if you were met with a lot of opposition, would you end up with the exact same buried, partially buried plant with the same building configuration? If that was the, I think that's unlikely for one reason, because there are other plants in the area that have extensive odor mitigations that don't have the same visual mitigations. See, some of the elements of the Tri-W site are not necessarily odor related, but visual related. And to the extent that you can place a large berm around a plant at an alternative site, you wouldn't have some of the visual mitigations, which were also costly. And so you can plan on some odor mitigations, even significant ones, as a part of the dollar amounts that we have listed up there. If you had to do the exact same project out of town, I think the dollar levels will be higher. But again, if you can do that in a competitive bid environment, I think you'll have more favorable bid results than the single bid that was received on the current project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Director Tacker?
Mr. Arnold, I appreciate your comment, but I just want to say that I was looking for justification for the choice of the downtown site at the time when the analysis in front of the board showed the sewer project out of town would be less expensive. Since that project was evaluated in that project report, the technology's actually changed, and the operating cost has gone up exponentially. And I'd like to see that analysis in today's dollars, but I believe it would be much more saved than even the $200,000 a year in energy and operations.
Thank you. Ms. Owen?
Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I appreciate all the work that everybody went to come up with this. It looks like it morphed from the first one that we saw. But looking at it, I can't say there's anything that I like about it. And I know that you guys were under pressure. So I just hope. My question is, has the State Revolving Fund decided not to accept this proposal? I mean, is it over, or are we are you trying to get the proposal accepted tonight so that you can reintroduce it to them after they rudely said that they were not going to have anything to do with it? I'll move on. My thoughts are that it's always been questionable whether we needed to operate under the state revolving fund loan. There are other monies out there, and everybody keeps laughing and saying that's not so, but I don't know how the Save the Dream people keep wanting to put blinders on and just move forward through a world that is, it's dark age technology to put that kind of a collection system in. The EPA itself said that a town the size of Los Osos should never go there. Why we're in this mess is all politics, and I'm just disgusted with the whole thing. I personally think that we walk away from the state revolving fund loan and we let them hash it out with the contractors. After all, they're the ones that started it against all requests from all of the two board members and everybody in the group that was trying to get them to wait until we had an election and an initiative that would change the location, for God's sakes. Mr. Ambrusco said he didn't have any sympathy for the contractors. They walked in with their eyes wide open. They were glad to take all that extra money and get started and work as fast as they could to put us in as much debt as they could. I can't feel sorry for any of them. I think that you just, I mean, I don't like this. I know you have to play politics, but I hope that this thing goes no place and we can find money from someplace else. Thanks.
Okay, we're not. Thank you. Ms. Owen, the answer to your question about the SRF loan, is it over? We're still talking to them. They rejected this, but this is the final step. They said we didn't have a resolution about it. We're giving them the resolution that they asked for. So that's what we're doing tonight. We're finishing the step that we started on Sunday night, October 30th. We've been trying to finish it, and now this is what we're going to do tonight. Okay, I can't answer your question any more than that at this time. Mr. Dugan.
Madam President, if I can just interject here.
Mr. Blesky.
You may want to share with the public the significant event that happened from our receipt of the letter from the SRF staff and how we were told that we were not going to be on the agenda and then what happened late last week.
That's what I wanted to say. Do you have anything to add?
Yes, Madam President, and that is after the State Water Board staff told us on a number of occasions that there's no way we were going to get on the agenda, and then we mysteriously appear there.
Yeah, we found that out late Friday afternoon at about 5 p.m. from a reporter and from a website subscription service.
Dave Dugan, Water Warrior, Vigilante, and Republican. Jesus Christ. Okay, this is what we were shown. The proposal summary does not come anywhere near what's on here. I was happy with this. I was not happy with this. And guess what? Somebody signed it, but I never saw this. How could you sign something? Five people voted on it. This is what you agreed to, but this is not this. The proposal summary and the terms are not the same. This reeks of political influences, Democrats, I might say. They don't like the idea. Specifically, this water board is made up of Democrats, three of which are Gray Davis appointees. I can't see how our governor can stand to have these political reprobates on that board. They're working to keep our communities down so we can't get the state out of the red. For what? Political purposes? That's it. There's nothing in this that even resembles it. This is the proposal summary. The only thing that resembles is attachment A, 1, 2, and 3. That's it. Go back to what you presented us. Proposal summary, additional water quality commitments, and benefit of proposals. I never saw this. I don't agree with this. It's not because of the substance. I never saw this. What you signed and five board members voted on is not this. This is what I saw. You did not present this to the public. I wholeheartedly say no because this is a giveaway. It's Tri-W written all over it. It's the way it's written. It's convoluted enough just to stop you guys from bidding it out of town. Be very careful. Somebody said Trojan horse. Well, that Trojan horse has just opened up.
I apologize, Mr. Jugin. I would like to mention that the preamble was on a different page Sunday night, so you definitely saw that. And the terms were summarized. That's correct. But they are the same terms. They were summarized. Okay. Well, we're voting on it as a part of a resolution tonight, and this is the one. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't help you here with that right now. Okay, Mr. Jones.
Michael Jones, Los Osos. When John made his comment that he didn't want us complaining about the past, I had to X out half my speech here. But I am glad. I'm glad to find out that Tri-W was not the only option, something that we heard from the past. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. But lots of people who supported you during the campaign really aren't too crazy about this agreement. But I think it does show that you are making an effort to do what's best for the community and not just preaching to the choir of those who support you. There was a comment in a quote in the paper from a member of the State Water Board saying that he believed that this agreement was too risky, and it's been said, but how risky was it for the Water Board to loan this district $135 million for a project pending an election that would discontinue the project? Let's see here. I just hope this isn't some kind of dog and pony show the state is putting you through. I have a feeling it's just a kind of a charade or whatever. But regarding the SRF loan, I don't care what the interest rates are. You can't saddle a property owner with the liability for a $135 million loan without the permission via a 218 vote. That just seems, I'm not a lawyer or anything, that seems kind of illegal to me, though, or doesn't seem right. I'll just say that. I think if the state doesn't agree to this, I think they're not acting in the best interest of Los Osos. If they don't agree, I don't think we should kowtow, be pressured under, or live.
Would anyone else like to speak at this time? Mr. Perla?
Thank you, Madam President, Board, and community. Mr. Fiché, I'd really like to thank you for your comments tonight on both occasions as far as referring to the history. I made a similar comment last Thursday about dwelling on the past. It's non-productive. Mr. Miller, I appreciated your comments and your work in getting the analysis up. I've done similar analysis. And when you put tentative figures up and you let them know that it's tentative or they're rough, people still embrace them. And it's tough to get away from that. Did your chart include the $6 million payback to the if we lost the loan? Was my only comment in addition to your base numbers as far as direct cost. You made a previous analysis to the Pismo and the men's colony sites. I still contend that those are different projects because there's existing infrastructure. Currently, we're taking vacant land, both in Tri-W and Andre site. There's no roadways, service drops, you know, power, electric, gas, whatever. There are at Pismo and at the men's colony. There's staff offices, restrooms, equipment shacks, parking lots. All that is in place at the men's colony in Pismo.
does your analysis include all these ancillary accoutrements? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Miller?
Yes, Madam President. Good questions. With respect to the first one, does it include $6 million repayment if we lose the loan? The analysis was an analysis for preserving the loan, so it doesn't include the repayment of any monies for the loan. This is specific to this deal, which would preserve the loan. And on the other point, we are aware of the extent to which, particularly with Pismo, they reused existing infrastructure, which was fairly mild, given that they replaced the entire facility and most of the, in the nuts and bolts, that facility, essentially a new facility. They reused some of the aeration basins for chlorine contact. Other than that, even the lab and everything else, the employee facilities were all new, and we did inflate numbers beyond that somewhat. The men's colony was also a substantially new facility. So I do believe those numbers would cover some of those costs that the speaker's referring to.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Payne.
Good evening, Madam President, board members, staff. I would like to explain that actually I've wasted my breath up here many times explaining some of this stuff. I don't know how in 2 minutes I'm going to tell you what's wrong with this experimental program that you've got that you're going to accept here with an MBR system, which is totally experimental. I asked many times, and in fact, one of the things that irritated me most about the assessment of a step-steg system was that it wasn't proven for 7 years or something, which really irritates me because I've asked many times, is there any plant in existence with MBR technology that has gone 5 to 7 years, the estimated life of those filters, and if so, where's it at? I have heard of one that went 4 years and had to replace them. I also noticed that they've increased the number of MBR filters that we have to have to enough that some of the ex-board members are claiming that that's increased so we can add Cabrillo Estates in with the, if they want to join. And that's a lie. It was increased because this, they want to have more filters so they can rotate cleaning them, continuously cleaning the filters, and when they get through, clean them, they start over at the other end and clean them again. And they hope by having enough filters that they might be able to run 5 to 7 years. Now, if anybody from down south happens to know about a plant that had to replace their filters in 4 years, I'd like to hear about it. And the other thing is this acknowledgement in number one, it says we acknowledge that we're continuing, that we're degrading the groundwater because of continued use of septic tanks. I would like to have a word inserted there that the groundwater...
Bring back that information to the community in the alternatives analysis. With respect to sludge, the community will need to look at all the at least all the options up there as part of this analysis that Wildan is looking at, and they have various levels of sludge management associated with them.
Yes, Mr. Payne, we have full intent to do those analyses. We are not forgetting what you're saying. It's very important, and it needs to be analyzed. We fully support that.
They told us 5 to 7 years on okay. $500,000
Please get in touch with Mr. Blesky and Wildan about the research that you've done. It's very important. Okay, thank you. Mr. Kreiser.
Madam President, if I can add, too, is that it's not lost on us because I know even in the water business you have certain constituents without pretreatment into like nanofilters or microfilters, depending upon the quality of your water, that the fouling of those filters is a significant concern because of the expense of those cellulose wand filters.
The pre-screening of the incoming is expensive.
Very expensive.
Okay.
Right, and also the threat to the filter, too. You can actually damage it.
Yes. Okay. No, okay. Mr. Kreiser? Pardon me? Yes, that's not lost. We're going to do that. Mr. Kreiser.
Madam President, members of the board, Bob Kreiser, Los Osos.
First question, if ponds cannot prove that they'll do the job up to standards, I'm not sure why. I'd like to know why they were considered to be one of the items on the list. And then item two, there's one thing I'm sure of as a contractor in business is that I know the costs of a project that has been bid. And I'm also sure that I don't know the cost of any project that hasn't. We all became very painfully aware that estimating a cost and then getting real bids were two very different things. So these numbers, all except one, are our estimates, and they all could be very wrong. And so it's something that we all have to be very careful about. The SFR loan is a fee-based, and it was made in good faith. Basically, they said the community of Los Osos, a lot of hardworking people in the state of California, will pay us back as they begin to use their system that we will fund. It's a fee base. They made that loan in trust that the operating individuals of the CSD at the time would proceed at a reasonable pace to get the project finished. Well, the CSD broke that trust when they stopped the progress. So now that SRF loan is only going to be available to us if they get guarantees from the property owner on a Proposition 218 vote. They can't let us have that loan any longer on a fee base. That's the difference between what you're asking them to do and what was asked to do before. You agreed on entering into negotiations to leaving the Tri-W site on the table when you went into those negotiations. I can only expect that if you were true to that agreement, that in the denial and the risk of losing this SRF loan, and the $38 million if we only spend $85, but $65 million if we spend $120, that you will go back to the Tri-W site and be good for your word. And last, I ask you to go to the state. Tell them you'll fight Measure B with the utmost urgency. Tell them that you will put the project back underway at the earliest convenience. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Please ask for the rest of the speakers to please try to stick to the 2 minutes. It's not fair to the people that have already spoken. And did you have a comment about ponds, Mr. Miller?
Madam President, I didn't catch the whole question.
Mr. Kreiser asked if the ponds were not reliable. Why are ponds still on the table? My quick response is these are not the same ponds. These are very different ponds, but you can embellish that.
They are certainly different technology than what was looked at in 2000. And item number 4 on the attachment term says the technologies to be reviewed must be standard technologies commonly used in their selection approved by the State Water Board. So for folks concerned about technology, there's provisions in there that the state will need to review and approve those, and that's why we also included the middle of a range technology also.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Yes, Ms. Albright?
Yes, my name is Joyce Albright, and I live in the Prohibition Zone. Somebody told me once that it takes years to build trust and only a moment to destroy it. It also takes years to build distrust, and it cannot be recovered in one moment. So I read this proposal with trepidation. If it is true that you really intend to keep your word, regarding number 8 on the attachment, if the assessment vote on the entire loan goes through, what will monthly costs to the property owners be based on a 20-year amortization? And I'm sure you have those figures. And will you now cancel all litigation? I have this written down. I'm hoping you'll be able to answer them. Maybe somebody could come and get them.
Mr. Blesky and Mr. Miller, could you address those questions, please, the ones you can? Read them again and quickly.
Number 1 is, does this mean that we'll start at the same project at the Tri-W site? No. It says we'll return to work at the Tri-W site doing those parts that don't violate the law as required by the SRF loan. And also in concordance, and right now law is Measure B. So we will go there and we'll do those parts of the work that don't build the sewer treatment plant. And the agreement provides that we're going to be moving it out of town. And that's the whole crux of the agreement, is the compromise is the gravity system for getting the plant out of town. Is the low-interest loan tied to the Tri-W site? No. If you intend to restart at the same site, why are you giving a presentation and alternatives? Because the agreement and the negotiated settlement allows us to do that. Your letter has referenced to on page 3 includes conditions of getting the low-income loan back. Oh, you're talking about the NTP? What the NTP says specifically is that when the state releases the funds, it's not a matter of getting the funds back. There's a huge difference in termination of a contract and withholding of funds. Okay, so number 5. Will you be using the resolution as a basis for suing the State Water Board? No. We're already filing a claim and getting ready to go on it. It's completely a separate action. Regarding number 8 on the attachment, if the assessment vote on the entire loan goes through, what will monthly cost to the property owners be based on a 20-year amortization? Go ahead.
Yeah, Madam President, I wanted to take that one. Just so that it's clear, obviously we don't have a revised revenue plan with new numbers tonight, but I want to make it clear that the security that the state is looking for doesn't mean you're going to sell bonds in order to further secure that. What it means is that you would have liens on real property to secure the state loan, not that you would have some additional amortization of bonds or something to secure that. So I just want to make sure that point was clear.
So there's no higher monthly cost?
No, it's still the same state loan. It's just better secured than the previous security that they had.
And, Madam President, when it comes to all litigation, I'll go ahead and just defer back to you on that.
Okay. What is the question? I don't remember.
Number 7. Will the CSD cancel all litigation?
The only litigation we have out right now is fighting Measure B. And also adjudicating the water basin. We can't cancel litigation that we didn't bring about. So, okay, Mr. Perlman, next speaker.
I guess I'll start speaking when I get to the mic. I do have Gwen Taylor has allowed me 2 minutes of her time. I'd like to use those for something I'll call wordsmithing. But first, I'd like to speak first. I really wish, as someone said earlier, that the state board were fools and that you could be disingenuous with them. After all, that is only part of a negotiation. Coming to a negotiation, one must, I think I heard that from one of the Apprentice shows, at a negotiation table, the option to leave the negotiation table must always be present. But I'm afraid possibly that is not the case. From the various letters, including the one that Sharon Fredericks shared with us, and which reflects Mr. Blakeslee's concerns that the state wants to be intractable, and, by the way, that letter is covered in the October 28th statement that you have, which states all or nothing, I'm concerned that Mr. Briggs is married to a sewer in the middle of our town. Held hostage. And the groundwater has also been held hostage for many years. And the use of the bay as sort of the clincher, the baby that's in danger, is just part of why this sewer was forced on us. 95% of the septic tanks function extremely well and replenish the groundwater and result in pretty much the same thing that a centralized sewer system does, except for the fact that a centralized sewer system is subject to other types of engineering problems, such as overflow, which it's ultimately a sewer is a sewer is a sewer. You can close a nostril and it doesn't smell half as bad, but the membrane technology, oxidation, the big huge differences are really oxidation versus non-oxidation. And so ultimately, when you write in your compliance with the state that the first item you agree to is you agree that the groundwater is continuing to degrade because of the continued use of septic tanks, I have issue with that. I don't have issue with you some of what you're saying. I just think the wording is unfortunate. There are other ways to say that. It's also true. There's some other problems with this attachment A and with your wording that I hope that you, before you proceed with the state, that you listen and possibly wordsmith this a little bit more. For instance, the opposition to Measure B is a bad choice of wording, I think. We're talking about attachment A, 8C. Is that my first 2 minutes or my last? That was my second 2 minutes. That means 4 minutes.
Yes. Mr. Perlman, please wrap up, okay? Please.
I do believe that you are giving, you're basically telling the state that our dog bit your child. I think there's other ways to enter into a negotiation other than, and I would very much like to spend some time with you guys, or if you look at some other person, just to rework this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please. I'm trying to be fair to everybody. Ms. Cooper.
Hi, this is Lacey Cooper. I just wanted to just comment on the new board's process. I really appreciated the presentation by Rob Miller tonight, and I like keeping it to the topic, and also I like that we're going into facts and trying to educate and trying to really look at this not as a political problem. I'm really tired of that. I want to look at it as a problem that you have to solve. And so you look at what's the benefit here, what's the cost here, what's the operation and maintenance over time, what are other, you know, variables that are either positive or negative. And I'm hoping that people in the room and at home will start looking at it like this, you know, start getting educated from here on out and actually not be married to any one thing, but say that, you know, not be, say, married to the Tri-W site, but really look at the plant objectively and just look at the sustainability, look at the sludge, look at everything that's happening, and try to keep rational. You know, rational is important in these kind of things. These are, you know, physical, this is very physical, reality-based stuff. It's not really about what you think is going to happen, you know, what you want or something's going to be. No plant is going to be perfect, okay? This old plant wasn't perfect. It had a lot of problems. A new plant will have different problems. You have to just weigh everything, you know, and not get married to an idea in your head without some education. So I appreciate the board is trying to keep us on that kind of track, and I encourage you to sign the resolution and see where that goes. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Would anyone else like to speak who hasn't spoken yet? Mr. Fergus, one speech per person, please, tonight. We can address it on a break or whatever. We're going to take a break before we do this. Okay, is there anybody else who wants to speak? I'm going to close public comment and take a break. 10 minutes, please. Okay, we're going to start the meeting, and we've closed public comment. And what we're going to do now is consider the resolution. So we're bringing it back to the board and staff, and I'd like to ask if the board has any questions at this time.
I have a couple of edits. Mr. Blesky, what I did is went through
order on those.
Director Tacker, if I can, I can read which orders those two are, just for the record.
That'd be great.
Currently, the proposed change in order, the current order reads, whereas on August 22, 2005, the construction of the project commenced. The second subject, whereas, is whereas on August 16, 2005, the LOCSD submitted request for disbursement number one in the amount of $6,486,144. And if I read this correctly, is to change the order of presentation. Just flip them.
Yeah. Okay.
We can do that.
A couple more on that same page. The third whereas, as we've been going through all these whereases, we give an actual date. This number three kind of just says in March, and I thought to be consistent, we would say on March 1, 2005. And then the same with the following on May 19, 2005. The county clerk recorder certified Measure B and three recall petitions should be on June 2 instead of in June 2. Further down the page, one of your paragraphs is not indented. I think earlier, the very last whereas, you asked to change the word to drafted, and I wanted to concur with that. On page 3, I'm really good at names, too. And Mr. Clover pointed out your apostrophe that was unnecessary. And that was all for my edits.
Director Tacker, we also have on the third whereas on page 2 that there is an indent problem there that we have to indent it out. And for the record, I'm just going to go ahead and read the last whereas on page 2, just for clarity. Whereas on October the 13th, 2005, the LOCSD drafted letters to the project's contractors notifying them that the LOCSD was lifting the temporary suspension of work. I would recommend that we add something to the effect of drafted letters with the intent to, or words to that effect, to clarify that we had drafted the letters but had not distributed those October 13th versions.
Okay, Director Tacker, are there any other comments,
that's
questions?
That's it for my edits.
Vice President Fouché, anything to add? Director Sennett? Director Cesania, do you have anything to add, questions? From your...
No, nothing at this time.
Okay. Is there anybody that's with you that came to your meeting that would have
no,
any
comments? I posted the notice at the door and left it unlocked, but I haven't been joined by anyone.
Okay, we're just checking because that's in compliance with the Brown Act that's required, and wanted to make sure we were doing it right. So.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any additional comments from staff, Mrs. Vega, Mr. Blesky, or Mr. Miller? Okay. May I have a motion, please? We have whereas on May 19th. Is that correct? Is it May 6th, Mr. Dugan? Thank you for checking on that. Okay, and Mr. Barrow, can we check with you? Did you start circulating the petition for the ballot initiative on March 1st?
Did I do what?
What was the date that you started circulating the petition for the initiative?
Well, it was officially filed
March 1st.
March 1st.
Okay, thank you. Just checking on the dates. Okay, may I have a motion, please?
I motion that we adopt the resolution as amended.
Okay, may I have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Okay, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Thank you.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Fouché?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
President Schicker?
Yes.
Okay. That concludes our meeting this evening, and I'd like to thank you all for coming.